We return now to our look back at a man who made a career of observing his adopted land in a series of weekly letters from America to the people of the UK. The late writer and broadcaster Alistair Cook's BBC series Letter from America was the longest-running spoken word radio program in history. It ended in 2004 after 58 years of chronicling U.S. history. Our good friend Alvin Hall has been exploring the Boston University archive, where the hundreds of letters and recordings from Cook are being preserved. And in our second installment, Alvin reminds us how Alistair Cook loved to find the little detail of something in the news to make a wider point about America. Hear a holiday story of Zebby Adams, arrested in New York for driving a yellow cab dressed up as Father Christmas and having consumed a bit too much holiday punch.
5 days in jail, he said. You anything to say for yourself? Merry Christmas, Your Honor, Zebby said. And 5 days for contempt of court, the judge added. And a happy new year, said Santa. The judge paused. He put his thumbnail to his teeth again, and this time he rescued a shred of beef. Sentence suspended, he said.
Story with a little mercy there at the end. That's Alistair Cook's Letter from America, Christmas, some year in the 1970s.
In the 1970s, yes. He loved those Christmas stories. They became a real part of his tradition.
And every week he had to come up with one of these letters?
Every week, 50 weeks a year. He took 2 weeks off for vacation, and he did this for 58 years. I think there are over 2,800 letters.
One of the things I think that this whole series and your series shows us again and again that, man, the United States of America delivers some amazing material to someone like Alistair Cook. Listen to him talking here about something he obviously admired about the United States. It's a jazz musical legacy.
He has left us in the blessed library of recorded sound a huge anthology of his music, which never got stuck in the groove from his 28th birthday to his 75th. And we have it all. And so I'm inclined to say what John O'Hara said on the death of George Gershwin. Transposing the two names, we can say Duke Ellington died last week. I don't have to believe it if I don't want to.
I still find that very hard to listen to.
Because
it's so emotional.
Yeah.
It's just
goosebumps. No,
it is, because he so admired this man. He so felt that what he had delivered to this earth, this beautiful music, which Alistair discovered through Satchmo, Louis Armstrong, and then just loved again. And you could tell by his voice and how he talked about Duke Ellington that there was more there than just an understanding of the music. There was an admiration for this man.
You know, you can hear in Alistair Cook a sense of, for a Brit who's got no self-esteem problems at all,
indeed,
Ellington's an order of magnitude of confidence beyond even an Alistair Cook.
Exactly. In this letter, he describes going to Ellington's apartment on the West Side, and he walked in for an interview, and Ellington was just getting out of bed, and he described how he approached him, what he was wearing, and what his hair looked like. And even in that, there's this surprise, but also admiration, that here is this man, this icon, who would show himself in that way.
And of course, if Alistair Cook got his musical education in America, it really began with this man here.
Armstrong refused ever to play in New Orleans until the Civil Rights Act was passed. And in 1965, he went back and he led an integrated band in the new jazz museum down there. It is a wry touch that this hallowed hall, which today tourists visit as they might patter into the Louvre, was built around the crumbling timber of a wretched shack in which, on the 4th of July, 1900, Armstrong was born.
Possibly the first and last time Louis Armstrong's home was referred to as the Louvre.
Yeah. And I love the way he called it. He says, this wretched shack. He really delivers those letters very, very well.
You know, what's interesting here is for someone who got American politics on race relations often so wrong, as Alistair Cook did.
Yes.
Through the window and the filter of American pop culture, he's vindicated and gets it more right than wrong.
Absolutely. I think there was something about the way music opened his eyes and opened his emotions. And he could talk about these things much more away from his social milieu, away from the influence of the voices and conversations he had at cocktail parties. These were his quiet, reflective moments. And I think that's where the real truth that he could see in himself and see in the culture came from. And he could articulate it quite well.
You know, this is a big project. What did you learn from Alistair Cook? What did you learn from going to the places in America that he referred to, some of which he got wrong? And then what did doing this series for the British audience teach you about America and yourself?
Oh, that's a brilliant question. This series taught me that, one, I could do a journey across the United States and choose different topics and show America how much it has changed and hasn't changed. Some issues that he was dealing with in the 50s and 40s are still there. Mm. And they seem unable to be fixed, unable to go away. They seem to be part of the American psyche. The second thing I learned was about myself as a Black American. It's always hard to think of yourself as invisible, but there was a period in America when we were clearly invisible. And as we began to gain power, when Alistair talks about the power that Black people were gaining during the civil rights movement, the one thing that he said that really struck me was how small some of the steps were, how small the bits of power we actually achieved were, looking back on it. They were monumental, we felt at the time, but they were really small. And that really sits in me every day. And the third thing was when the series was airing in Britain, it was such a joy to be there because British people would talk to me about how they would put tapes of Alistair in their cars when they were coming to America. And they would drive around America and listen to Alistair on Native American reservations or food in Kansas City or something like that. And it opened up America to them. And the fact that they would then listen to my show and it would make them reflect on what Alistair had said and what I was saying about America today was really heartwarming.
Do you think you'd ever open yourself to that level of possible vulnerability and scrutiny to do something for that long, a letter from America to somewhere else?
I think yes. I would enjoy that. I would enjoy writing about America today in an ongoing letter, reflecting the things that I see, the things that I experience, the things that I talk about, the people I meet.
Knowing the 50 years on, you might have gotten a few things wrong, but at least you said it, right?
Yes, and it's a journey, as you said, of education.
Alvin Hall, happy new year. Have a great next year, and congratulations on this year for you.
Thank you very much, and happy new year to you.